श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य दया कर विमर्श कर मोरे तुम जो मैं ने विदाउट यू के दयालु हु एल्स इज मर्सीफुल जगत संसार इन द होल वर्ल्ड बट द ब्राह्मण नीड टू डिलीवर द फॉलन सोल्स गॉड योर अवतार इंकर्नेशन मोस्ट समवन लाइक मी पतित फॉलन ऑन माय लॉर्ड Not by it, you will not find another. Oh, Lord Vichananda, Hahakava Vichananda, Premananda Sukhi, full of ecstasy. Oh, Lord Vichananda, Premananda Sukhi, full of ecstasy. Kripa Balokanya Lord, glance mercifully. Amen. I am Bharajuki, very sad. Dayakora, be merciful. Sitapati, O husband of Sita, Veja Kasaya, Veja Charya. By your mercy, on Bali, strength, by one receives Chaitanya Nitai, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nichaya. Ha, Swarup, Shira Swarup, Damodar Goswami, Sanatan, Shira Sanatan Goswami, Rupa, Shira Rupa Goswami, Raghunath, Shira Raghunathas Goswami, Bhatta Yuga, Shira Gopalabhatan, Shira Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sijiva, Shira Jiva Goswami. And oh, my Lord, open that Goswami. Be merciful. Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas, Srinivas Acharya, and Ramachandra, Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj, in his association, Narottama Stapa, is making. So, on the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our meditation is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Sri Rupa Goswami described, Nama Mahava Nanyaya, Krishna Pedaya, Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Krishna. Thus, never was such mercy displayed before. Oh, in how many incarnations did the Lord appear? Srimad Bhagavatam gives us an extensive list of the various incarnations of the Lord. And it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that the purpose of the appearance of all the incarnations of the Lord is to reclaim those who are in the mode of pure goodness. However, that's not the case with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not appearing in this world to attain those who are in the mode of pure goodness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world to somehow or other deliver anyone and everyone, even those who have no desire at all to serve Lord Krishna. Somehow or other, they also are touched and transformed. Sri Prabhupada, in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, in the book where it describes how, actually in this age of Kali, no one has a desire in the heart to serve Krishna. He's saying that, but because there are devotees, of the Lord who are praying for the deliverance of the conditioned souls, then Krishna, in the form of Paramatma, interferes within the heart of the conditioned souls and awakens a sudden desire to take up devotion. Therefore we understand it is the mercy of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that somehow or other awaken the desire for devotional service in the hearts of conditioned souls. Just as sometimes it is said that there are pious credits, and when different kinds of pious credits, there is karma mukhi, moksha mukhi, bhakti mukhi, sukriti, or pious credits that give us good temporary results in this world, karma mukhi, or jnana mukhi, credits that give us some benefits in becoming free from birth and death.
And then
there are fully transcendental credits, bhakti mukti. Somehow or other, agyata sukriti. Somehow or other, unknown devotional service. And it is by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the entire world is getting the opportunity to unknowingly engage in devotional service. Somehow or other, everywhere the influence of Lord Chaitanya's movement is penetrating in so many ways, touching different people. We may say, but so many books, 500 million books distributed, why don't we have 500 million devotees? Why don't we have at least 100 million devotees, 20%, or 10%, 50 million devotees, or even 1%, 5 million devotees? Why not? Does it really work? Maybe not in that way. I also used to think that this movement will spread. And Srila Prabhupada once said that this movement has the power to take over the world in 18 days. And that was a quote that was repeated a lot in the at least when I joined, you would hear it almost every day. And if we were pure enough, that was the point. If we were pure enough, we could take over the world in 18 days. So the point was, well, we're not pure enough, so we should get more serious, and then we'll take over the world in 18 days. Nowadays, you don't hear it so much anymore. We're all quiet about it, tiptoeing sort of like taking over the world. Well, maybe if we first get our own in-house affairs a bit more together. So we're not like as blunt anymore as we used to be in that regard. Taking over the world in 18 days.
Yes, and meanwhile, did we take over the world? Well, not quite. It doesn't seem so. We used to think more and more people will just join this movement and they will shave up and put dhotis or saris and they will just move into temples and there will be more and more temples on every street corner, a temple, and very soon, Krishna consciousness will be everywhere.
Did it happen? Well, not exactly like that.
And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, yes, it is. Krishna consciousness didn't spread like that in a very orderly way, which for a moment I'd like to compare to a well-trimmed English garden with hedges and everything nicely formally placed. It didn't spread like that. I think it spread everywhere, but it spread more like the Brazilian jungle. It spread more in all kinds of forms and ways and penetrated in people's lives. One Irish reporter wrote that this movement is certainly, in one sense, didn't succeed in attracting the people of the world to wear the dress, to shave their heads, and to make a revolution in that way. But in another way, it has touched everyone. In the article, he continues to describe and says that now people from all over the world, somehow or other, are practicing yoga. Everyone speaks about karma, reincarnation, as if they're household words. And all this knowledge now has become completely integrated everywhere. And he says in his article, did everyone become a little bit Hare Krishna? And is there something that the Hare Krishnas know that we don't know? And is it that maybe one day all of us will be walking in robes? And this, it was a very nice article because it was kind of showing the invisible success of Lord Chaitanya's movement and how everywhere people are being touched and being transformed. Very simple. Lord Chaitanya, when he was Nimai Pandit, he was teaching his students. And at that time, he was very strict about Tilak. He was insisting that his students would wear Tilak, and anyone would come to the Tol, the Sanskrit Tol, that was not wearing Tilak, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nimai, would send him back, send that student back and say, go put Tilak. And it is described that just that Tilak, just seeing a personality with Tilak, is a great blessing. Very simple. Just that, just walking around, parading with our spiffy Tilak on, or smudged, depending on our talents in reading Tilak. I'm like a smudged Samadhyaya myself. I can never get this case. And anyway, somehow or other it's there.
And there's always Tilak everywhere, like today it's on my
sweater. Tilak here. But this Tilak is such a blessing. Because it is sacred, it is sacred clay. It is Gopi Chandan, it is related to worshipping Lord Krishna. It is Taliya. It is a transcendental paraphernalia which is part of the glorification and worship of Krishna. And anyone who is wearing Tilak has actually Krishna installed on 12 places in the body. Therefore, the body is a temple, and such a person just parading around is blessing everyone, is blessing the three worlds. So in this way, we are looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his appearance in this world as a transcendental ocean of transcendental blessings. This is our good fortune. So from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Aliya, chapter 13, verse 19. Sarva sadguna punantam pande falguna purniyam yasyam si krishna chaitanyo vaktinam krishna nami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the full moon evening in the months of Phagun, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advanced himself with the chanting of the holy name Hare Krishna. At that time, there was an eclipse of the full moon. So it is said this is a highly auspicious time because the influence of Rahu is being felt. And people in India, even today, are taking that quite serious. For example, once you get kusa grass, and put kusa grass over whatever supplies, food supplies are there in the house. Because otherwise those grains and everything is contaminated, must be thrown away, so they say. And places like Vrindavan, everyone gets kusa grass all over, and people stay in their houses, right? Because you would not be wanted to be touched by the rays of the dark planet Rahu, which can bring so much inauspiciousness. Unlike other places in the world where people go out and to see the eclipse, etc. And have no idea. In India, in Vedic culture, such an eclipse is considered most inauspicious. So it's interesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed 13 months in the womb, not 9, but 13 months in the womb, and it was a problem. Of course, his grandfather, Nimrata Chakravarti, was a renowned astrologer, so he did a calculation, and he said, don't worry, it's fine, the child There was an eclipse,
which made it inauspicious. So how could it be that he waited 13 months to appear at an inauspicious time? The reason was
that at that time, in West Bengal, the entire society was predominated by a particular class of Brahmins known as smart Brahmins. Amongst Brahmins, there were many different scholars. Some were known as Trivedi, who had studied the Vedas three times, just as it is said, in one time one cannot properly study the Vedas, one must read all the Vedic literature three times. And such studies were going on. So Trivedis and other learned Brahmanas. But the Vedic literatures are full of complex rituals which bring about auspiciousness, but they do not directly deal with the matters of everyday life. Whereas the Smriti contains many rituals which deal with matters of everyday life. Birth, death, conceiving children, education, health, all these things are mentioned in the Smriti, and there are rituals that can be performed to get auspiciousness for these things.
So, this is what people want to do.
And therefore it is not surprising that gradually, as the age of Kali set in, and as religion became more and more materially motivated, and less aimed at eternal spiritual benefit, but simply aimed at some temporary benefit for this material existence, that the smart Brahmin community became very predominant. And thus, the smart Brahmin community was ruling. And one of their features was that they were more strict than strict about performing the ritual. It must be done exactly properly, because if there is one mistake, it will be disastrous. So, this chanting of the holy name, yes, it was mentioned. It was certainly mentioned in the Vedic literature. Absolutely, it was there. But one could not just chant the holy name, because we are impure. And if we chant the holy name in an impure state, that would be a great offense to the name, and the result would be disastrous. Therefore, chanting must not be done in public. No. So the smart Brahmana said. But at the time when one is bathing in the Ganga, then the purifying influence of Ganga makes it possible to chant the name. And therefore, at the time of eclipse, it was recommended to go and take bath in the Ganga. And thus, everyone would assemble in the Ganga and stand there up to waist high, chanting the holy name. And thus, suddenly, so much public chanting was going on which otherwise would not happen. Srivas Thakur had started this chanting in his house, and the neighbors were complaining that he's bringing inauspiciousness upon the whole village. How can he loudly chant? How is this possible? This is totally to be against all injunctions.
Of course.
It is the only means of deliverance in this age of Kali. And therefore, Shiva was rightly chanting on the basis of the Brihad Naradeya Purana. He was rightly chanting the holy name in his house. In Navadvipa, before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vaishnavas had ascended. There was a small minority group of Vaishnavas in the midst of so many smart Brahmanas who were really predominating the cultural landscape. But somehow or other, the disciples of Madhavendra Puri They were there.
And
they went. Pundari Vijani, he was there. Gopinath Acharya, he was there. Advaita Acharya, he was there. Srivastava, he was there. And this way, Murari Gupta, in the first chapter of his Kadacha, of his biography about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describes how before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the elders appeared in Navadvipa. And now these elders, somehow or other, were all extraordinary devotees. Who were they? Later, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Pundarik Vijayi, he would sometimes call him Premini. Premini, he's so absorbed in praying. Other times, he would call him Father. Because Pundarik Vijayi was none other than Maharaj Visvanathan. None other than Maharaj Visvanathan, the father of Srimad Radharani. And because Radha Krishna Pranayami Kiti Vadinashakti Rasmad, because now that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vrajananandan Hariye Sanchisukamase, that Vrajendra Nandan, that son of Raj, King of Raj, the son of the King of Raj, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, has now appeared as Sanchi Sutta, as the son of Mother Sanchi. So, and he is none other than Radha Krishna Pranayami Kirtir combined. He is none other than Radha and Krishna combined, both. In the Chaitanya Mango, Lochandas Thakur is describing that Narada Muni came to Dwarka, and there he met Lord Krishna. And Narada Muni at the time, he just arrived after an incident had taken place. One day, Rukmini was crying, and there was really no apparent reason. One of these situations where the wife is crying and the husband is just looking at it all and just saying, like, hasn't got a clue. And she's crying, he hasn't got a clue. I mean, what's wrong? And of course, the usual answer is, you never understand. I mean. So, Rukmini did exactly that, you know. I mean, you just never understand anything, and you can't understand this. This is beyond your comprehension to understand. And then she pointed out, you cannot know. Radharani knows, but you cannot know. You cannot know what it is like to experience the love that I feel for you. And suddenly Krishna is sitting there. Lo and behold. Lo and behold. You know, I always thought that I was all-knowing. I always thought that I was all-knowing, and just see now. What happened here? There is something that I don't know. Well, this intrigued the Lord quite a bit. And just then, while Rukmini was still crying, and so the whole scene had not settled down yet, then Narada Muni appeared. Well, that helped because it distracted from the whole situation. Oh, Narada Muni, a sadhu disappeared, and thus there was the throne for worshipping Narada Muni. And they washed the feet of Narada. And then Narada also began to cry. And Krishna said, what's going on today? today. Everyone's crying. Everyone is crying. And Nara said, I am crying. I am crying because I'm thinking of the fate of the presidents of Kaliyuga. Very soon, you will wind up your earthly pastimes. And then what will happen when you return to your transcendental abode? What will happen? Then what will happen in this age of Kali? I am crying.
And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he manifested for a moment his transcendental golden form and explained that in this age of Kali he would appear in this golden form. With golden because he would be Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And in that way, no different from Srimati Radharani.
Because Srimati Radharani is not different from Krishna. She's an expansion of Krishna.
Ladini Shakti Rasna. She is the Ladini Shakti. And therefore not separated from Krishna. In that sense, Radha and Krishna are one. But now, they appear as two, as Radha and Krishna. And only to appear again as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is he Krishna or is he Radharani? He is both. So it's not that he is just Krishna in the mood of Radharani. He is also Radharani. And in that way, this golden complexion reflects that identity, that mood of Srimati Radharani.
And of course,
we remember an example of Bhagavatam. We remember how once Aswatthama, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, performed a heinous act, a cowardly activity, totally against all principles of Dharma. We remember that Aswatthama, after his father had been killed by some trick, that he became very, very angry. Very angry. And he said, and because my father was killed by one in the dynasty of the Pandavas, I will now destroy that entire dynasty. And I will destroy the five sons of Chaudhary. The five sons who are the next in line.
I will kill them.
In this way, Bhagavad, his entire dynasty, killed the sons of Jogi in their sleep. So this was no longer, fighting. This was just animalistic killing. This was just brutal and totally condemned. And as a result, Aswatthama fell off his rabbinical status. Subsequently, Arjuna was taking action and eventually arrested Aswatthama and bound him like an animal. And then, Krishna was there and said, this man has committed such a heinous act. He must be punished. And for such an act, there is only one punishment. Death. And then Jodhi, she showed the female nature. She, although her sons were killed, she said, and although she initially had wanted some action against this terrible killer, now that she saw him bound, she said, no, I cannot look at this. I cannot see it that he's bound. He is our guru. He's a Brahmana. He's the son of our teacher. No, please, how can he stand here bound like an animal? And I cannot think of him being punished and death. That is inconceivable. Inconceivable. I do not want his mother to go through what I have to go through. And in this way, she was showing compassion.
Krishna was thinking in a more cool state of mind. He was thinking, no, he cannot be a representative of teachings of Shastra. He has betrayed those teachings. No. The reactions for his sinful activities are immense, especially a Brahmana. One in learning has committed such an act. Only death will absolve him. Better, he is killed. So it became a whole thing. And the Pandavas became divided, and Yudhisthira also was in favor of saving his life and being compassionate, but Bhima was on the side of, let's kill him. And Bhima said, what's all this talking? You know, if nobody can make a decision here, then I will do it myself right now. And Bhima was ready, and Draupadi jumped in between and said, no, Bhima, no. And then Krishna found two extra arms and came in between Draupadi and Bhima and kept them apart. So it's a very dramatic story. I mean, would make a wonderful play, you know, only how to get those two extra arms right there. But Bhakti Mark song can do it, I know. Somehow or other, it would be possible. Anyway, in the midst of all this drama, we see the female nature. And that female nature has its origin in the nature of Srimati Radharani. The female nature is by far more compassionate than hard-hearted, insensitive male creatures. And who are known to be harmless when getting sick. Take that on your belt. But Srimati Radharani embodies that compassion. So now being Radha Krishna combined, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes in the mood of Krishna, sometimes in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is the most compassionate incarnation of the Lord. Namo Mahavalindaya Krishna Deva Padaya Deva. He even gives love of God to those who have absolutely no qualification. He creates their qualification. Everywhere the chanting of the holy name resounded, and everyone during the eclipse was benefited, and the child continued. He had a very loud voice, and he would cry. He could not be silenced only when the ladies chanted Hare Krishna. So they were always chanting around him. And then he was the sweetest child on earth, never cried, as long as the chanting was going on. Somehow or other, this chanting of the holy name in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are inseparable. And it is through this chanting of the holy name that the world is transformed, and that even the sinful lives of most fallen people are touched. And somehow or other, this holy name enters into their lives. Then followed by Bhagavad, which drives away the ocean of nescience. It is in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda drive away the influence of nescience by Bhagavad, by Bhagavad and the person of Bhagavad. And in this way, this chant of Hare Krishna combined with the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is the foundation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And that is how this movement is transforming the world. And somehow or other, by disseminating knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and by widely chanting the holy name. And it is the chanters themselves who are becoming most purified. Say, the Vanchitattva came into this world and broke the lock of the storehouse of love God. That storehouse of love God had certainly appeared in this world at the time when Krishna appeared in this world, but it was locked, and only very rare devotees who had the key
could somehow or other enter. Otherwise, everyone else was excluded.
But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke the book. And then, what did he do? Then he went inside with his associates,
say,
the world has changed. A
you seeing it? Are you seeing it? It is like Shri Prabhupada, who was sitting on a park bench in New York City. In the very, very early days, when he didn't have a cent to his name, when he had a handful of followers, Prabhupada sitting on a park bench. And one man sat next to him, and Prabhupada said, I have many followers. I have many temples. Many people all around the world who are practicing this Krishna consciousness. And the man said, oh, really? Where is all that? Where is all that? He saw him sitting simply on the park bench. And maybe he even knew that he had a temple there on the lower east side. Maybe he even knew that he had a temple on the lower east side. Maybe he even knew that he had a temple on the lower east side. Maybe he even knew. Because he said, only time is separating me from all these temples. Yes, so he said. So that vision of Sri Ramana. So let us do today, for one moment, take the shells of ignorance of our eyes and look in that way, through the eyes of Sri Ramana, where past, present, and future are here simultaneously, and understand the world is already transformed, already inundated, and therefore the acharyas are ecstatic. It's happening. It's happening, and it's just amazing.
Not is it ever going to happen? Here we are, sitting with a handful in the Radha temple, surrounded by Maya, who coming with his really bad.
No, let's change our vision for a day and look at Trikalakya. See all three times and see that the future is already here. The world is just filled with ecstasy. Everyone's chanting. Everyone's hair is standing on end in ecstasy. Everyone is eagerly waiting for the darshan of Lord Krishna. Everyone wants to see the Lord. No one is asleep. Sleep is something nobody likes anymore. It's ignorance. It's forgetting Krishna. Everyone wants to see him. Everyone wants to drink the name of Krishna every moment. Everyone is eager. Nobody cares about material things. Everyone just cares about Krishna. They don't care where they're from, who you are. Just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And you chant the names of Krishna in eagerness. And this is happening everywhere. Right now. And only time.
Thank you very much.